We have our full-time support force in place at the Emergency Operations Center at Fort Dix. We've also activated three additional Emergency Operations Center in Atlantic City, Somerset, and Teaneck. And people have been put on alert, which means that they are somewhere we can contact them quickly, bring them into play as we need them. Right now, the priority has been on medical personnel. We've made an offer of assistance to New York City. Those missions are coordinated through the State Police Emergency Management Center in West Trenton. And it's like triage. Those areas that are in greatest need get the first response and get the greatest attention.
Anybody who is a guardsman out there, should they automatically just report to their base?
We have a normal alert procedure. They know what to do. They should be in contact with their unit just to confirm a phone number where they can be located should they should we need to bring them in.
Would the National Guard get involved in any matters of defense should that become necessary?
The National Guard is both a state and federal organization. We're now in our role as a state militia responding to emergencies within the state. We can also be federalized by the president if that need should arise. We just deployed some troops to Bosnia this week. We have Air National Guard personnel providing air refueling throughout the world. So we're on both sides of this. If the situation escalates militarily, inevitably National Guard units and personnel will be brought into that. Right now, we're in the state militia phase under the command of the governor, who's our commander-in-chief, dealing with the situations here in New Jersey.
Well, your primary function at this point would be transportation, as you mentioned, triage, or just support?
Transportation, medical support, security, control of traffic, personnel, as you mentioned just before we came on. Traffic is pretty much at a standstill. Airports have been shut down. So when you have matters that involve and affect public safety, we have to keep the roads open so emergency vehicles and convoys can get through.
Now, when the average commuter attempts to go home either now or later in the day and they see that your troops out on the road, you're just mainly there to keep the peace and move things along.
That's correct.
Because I'm sure a lot of people are going to be panicking if they see any signs of military anywhere. But it's just, you know, you're out there to on alert and to lend support, like I said, mainly in transportation and medical support.
Yeah, at this point, seeing uniforms is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
The American Red Cross has set up a family inquiry hotline at 215-299-0134. That's 215-299-0134. That's out of their Philadelphia office. If you had relatives or family, you know, in and around where some of these terrorist attacks have taken place, then that's the number to call, 215-290-0134. Let's go to the APR National Network now and get the latest on the series of terror attacks now.
There's
in the nation.
No word on the fate of the tens of thousands who work in the World Trade Center's Twin Towers, but witnesses reported seeing bodies falling from the building and some people jumping. One of the planes that crashed into the building this morning just around 9 o'clock Eastern time had been hijacked after takeoff from Boston. An explosion also rocked the Pentagon today. An aircraft crashed on a helicopter landing pad near the Pentagon. The West Wing of the White House has been evacuated amid threats of terrorism. The president is not in Washington. He has been in Florida for a pre-organized trip. He was reading to school children and is now on Air Force One and is returning apparently to Washington. We also know this morning that a large plane is down near Pittsburgh. A Pittsburgh TV station says it's believed to be a Boeing 767. It crashed in the Somerset County Airport area. Not clear yet if this crash is related to the others taking place today. Authorities from coast to coast are now on alert, halting air traffic and evacuating high-profile buildings. Our Doug Whiteman is in Washington. He joins us live now on how people are handling this in Washington, D.C.
Well, yes, Rita, I was just out in Washington. I was riding the metro, which is very crowded with people. The sidewalks here are teeming with people. The streets are jammed. Apparently, people have been excused from work early all over the city, and they're now trying desperately to get home in a hurry to be with their loved ones. And with so many people doing this all at once, they're not going to have much luck getting anywhere in a hurry. There is a long line at every public phone. Apparently, cell phones, wireless phones are not working because the airspace is jammed. There's a long line at every ATM machine in Washington. Again, practically bedlam in Washington. Many, many people trying to get away.
All right, Doug Whiteman, we want to thank you for that live report on what's going on in Washington, D.C. Stay with us. We will continue to have the very latest for you live right here. This is AP Network News.
You're listening to New Jersey 101.5. It's 11:02. We'll now rejoin AP.
Literally gripping the nation. It is the story of all of these incidents in New York and in Washington this morning. Ross Simpson joins me live now.
As I said earlier this morning when this all began, America is under attack. Authorities are on alert from coast to coast, halting all air traffic, evacuating high-profile buildings. Evacuations now ordered at the United Nations in New York and at the Sears Tower in Chicago. Los Angeles has mobilized its anti-terrorism division. As we told you also, the White House has been evacuated, the old executive office building next door. Let's go live now on the street outside the White House and correspondent Tony Winton. Tony?
Well, Ross, both D.C. police and the U.S. Secret Service have set up a perimeter outside the White House, yellow police tape blocking off all the streets leading to the White House, and very aggressive officers pushing people back because of the series of attacks earlier today. A little while ago, we saw a series of fire trucks race down 17th Street here, and also we're seeing a large van from Walter Reed Army Hospital, full presumably of medical personnel, perhaps responding to the Pentagon. That was the general direction they were heading in. The reaction of people on the streets here in Washington, just one of shock. People milling around, just their faces drawn. A number of people are huddled around a transistor radio out here at the corner of New York Avenue and 14th Street, listening as the news updates continue to unfold as we have these terrible, tragic reports coming in from all over.
Tony, from your vantage point, can you see the smoke at the Pentagon on the horizon?
No, I cannot see the smoke. We did hear about 45 minutes ago, we did hear a large bang. We don't have any definite confirmation of what that was, but when that happened, that's shortly after that happened. That's when the Secret Service and the D.C. police started pushing people back even further away from the White House than the original perimeter they'd set up.
Have any additional police been moved in from Metropolitan Police Department to augment the Secret Service and other details at the White House?
From what we can see, Ross, around the White House, there are a number of extra personnel, motorcycle police officers, fire department personnel, basically in every direction, every corner around the White House here in Central Washington. There is a command post, if you will, for these officers ready to respond if something happens. But as I say, the immediate area around the White House remains completely sealed off. Yellow police tape across the avenues and the streets here, and officers turning people around who are trying to get anywhere near the White House.
Thank you very much. Correspondent Tony Winton live outside the White House as that facility is evacuated, the Capitol being evacuated. The Pentagon has already been evacuated, and if you're just joining us, we just had on the air a short while ago with correspondent Thelma Lebreck from the Pentagon, a security officer whose post was just a few yards away from where he says a large airplane. He says it looked like an A310 Airbus, a wide-body jet, slammed into the west side of the Pentagon, setting it ablaze. He said people were scrambling, trying to find a way out of the destroyed portion of the building. He says, but they didn't know which way to run. There was so much flame and so much smoke.
Rita? Among all the unknown questions this morning is the nature of any injuries or fatalities. We are watching video from New York, the World Trade Center area, that shows injured people being taken away on stretchers, being administered to by firefighters, by paramedics, by all those people who are trying to lend a hand. But we don't know yet the full scope, and it may be some time before we do, of injuries or fatalities in the wake of all of these incidents this morning. Now, if you are not in New York, if you are not in Washington, you may be wondering what is going on in your area. So we're going to take a moment here to address that question. The precautions being taken in various states across the nation.
All right, on New Jersey 101.5 now, it's 6 minutes past 11, and being so close to the World Trade Center, there is certainly a lot of activity going on in the Garden State. From the State House, where there is a heightened sense of security, twice the number of state troopers who usually guard the building and in its garage are visible. The State Police and the National Guard mobilized in New Jersey, heading northward now to offer any assistance and rescue efforts that can be mounted where the Twin Towers once stood. To look at the Manhattan skyline now, Lower Manhattan from Battery Park on north, those familiar towers no longer stand. The dust and the debris from the collapse have begun to make its way now over into New Jersey, making the air quality perhaps dangerous in the northern part of New Jersey. We do not know if the attacks are done. Outside of Pittsburgh, a 767 jetliner has crashed outside of the Pittsburgh airport. That is believed to have been another plane that was hijacked. That is not confirmed yet that that plane was hijacked, but is believed to be what would have been the fourth airplane attack now in the New York and Washington area. From this side of the river, watching the carnage unfold in Manhattan has been surreal, to say the least. New Jersey 101.5's David Matthau was turned away on his attempts to get into Manhattan. He joins us now live from Fort Lee, where he has been talking to individuals there and reliving this almost moment by moment, David.
Eric, it has been nothing short of unbelievable, only it is real, and that's what's so terrifying. When we last spoke, I was making my way northbound on the turnpike near exit 13. Just as the first tower exploded and collapsed, I had reported to you that it looked as if the building were actually imploding with a huge plume of mushroom cloud smoke slowly rising up into the sky, almost as if a nuclear bomb had been dropped. Hundreds of people who were driving had pulled off to the side of the highway watching this incredible scene in disbelief. There was a line of trucks pulled off in the rest area just before that near exit 11, probably a mile and a half long, because many of these drivers were heading into New York City and they were now learning that they could not go into the city because the Lincoln, the Holland tunnels both closed, the George Washington Bridge closed, the whole scene frozen. Dozens of people had huddled together on the turnpike just along the extension north of where you turn off to go to the Lincoln Tunnel, and I was talking to a couple of them when the second explosion took place, and people just watched in horror. People were crying and screaming, oh my God. And seconds later, a teary-eyed man named Albert from Ridgefield told me that his friend was working a couple of buildings away in the World Trade Center. This is after he had just watched the second tower go down. And he felt that a state of war was going to be declared, and he was extremely emotional.
There's got to be more people dead than in Pearl Harbor there, boy. All this cluster of people in one concentrated area? Definitely. I'm not in the reserves no more, man, but if they needed to call me back up to fight these guys, whoever did this, I would go in a heartbeat. Because it's crazy, man.
And that's basically the feeling, Eric. People cannot believe what they are seeing. They're talking about this being the worst attack on the United States in history.
Well, David, you just did the series last week about the preparations against a terrorist attack in northern New Jersey. And your experts saying it was inevitable.
And exactly correct. And what's so ironic is that they were saying exactly that they felt that it was not a question of if, but when, and that they were completely prepared and would deal with the situation as best they could. I don't think that anyone in their wildest dreams ever foresaw this kind of nightmare where you're talking about planes, kamikaze style, going into the World Trade Center, a horrifying and terrifying sight.
All right, and David Matthau up in northern New Jersey, this may not be over. CBS is now reporting a total of 8 planes have been hijacked in America. 5 of them are still in the air. 8 planes in total have been hijacked across the country, and 8 are still airborne at this hour. We will have more on that coming up in the minutes ahead. Our senior State House correspondent, Gene Dillard, joins us now live, where, Gene, we've told that they've taken some extra precautions at the State House today as well.